As we've been reporting, the Taliban continue to make gains in Afghanistan, seizing more and more territory, especially in the north. Stephanie Tsai has more.
William, the Taliban seizure of 9 provincial capitals and vast surrounding lands now means that the insurgents hold loose control of 2/3 of Afghanistan. All this as the U.S. and NATO finalize their withdrawal by the end of this month after 2 decades of war. So what has been the Taliban's strategy? How have they conquered this territory so quickly? For that, we turn to Bill Roggio. He is a senior fellow at the Foundation for Defense of Democracies and the editor of their Long War Journal. Bill Roggio, thank you for joining the NewsHour. You've been watching this rapid succession of Taliban victories. We have a map that shows the regional capitals they now control, those 9 black squares you see in the north and the west. The pink areas are Taliban-controlled. The lighter yellow is government-controlled. And you can see, Bill, the darker yellow is a huge chunk of the country. Those lands are currently under Taliban threat. What do you see as the insurgents' strategy and objective?
Yeah, the insurgents, the Taliban's objectives is to seize control of Afghanistan, to reestablish its Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. That's the name of its government prior to the U.S. invasion. It will do this by force, or it will do it via diplomacy. And via diplomacy means the Taliban will accept the Afghan government's surrender. The Afghan government isn't surrendering, so the Taliban is taking it by force. It has focused on taking areas in the west and particularly in the north. These are strategic areas for the Taliban and for the Afghan government. Many Afghan power brokers are based in the north. This is where they derive their power. And the Taliban could easily take the south and much of the east if it focused its forces there. But instead, what the Taliban decided to go straight after the government's strength. And that's why 7 of the 9 provincial capitals in northern Afghanistan are under Taliban control. And there's the two provinces in western Afghanistan. They also are under Taliban control. The Taliban ultimately is seeking to surround Kabul, strangle it, and either force the surrender or militarily take the capital of Kabul.
Okay, let's parse everything you said out a little bit, because the north is typically not where the Taliban is the strongest, and yet they've been able to take all those capitals. So tactically, what has the Taliban done to lay the groundwork and set conditions to accomplish this?
The Taliban leveraged its alliance with al-Qaeda in order to gain control of areas. What it did, it used al-Qaeda groups, associated groups, Tajik and Uzbek groups, to gain influence in the northern areas. And this was very effective. It allowed them to reach out to Tajiks and Uzbeks and Turkmen to increase the ranks, because the Taliban traditionally, at least in the 1990s, was primarily a Pashtun organization based in the south and the east. And instead, by expanding its influence and its reach in the north to these groups, it's increased its combat power. This is the untold story of what has happened in the north. We have to remember that in the north was the last bastion of resistance to the Taliban pre-9/11. Badakhshan province, which is currently under Taliban control, was the headquarters of the Northern Alliance. And now the Taliban, with the help of al-Qaeda, leveraged those assets. And this is how we're seeing this remarkable success in the north.
Okay, that's the strategy, and I want to go back to al-Qaeda in a bit, but I want to ask you about tactics. Did we also see that there was pre-positioning of, for example, weapons and fighters in those northern cities?
Absolutely. What the Taliban did since the U.S. handed over security to the Afghan forces back in 2014, they focused on taking control of rural areas. U.S. generals, the commanders, they dismissed this and said, we're going to focus on the population centers. The Taliban said, that's fine. We'll work on the rural areas. We'll stage from there and we'll expand our control outward. This Taliban strategy is over a decade in the making. They explained it in English, by the way. So it was all out there to see. But unfortunately, bad U.S. and Afghan and NATO strategy combined with solid Taliban strategy. And yes, they were stockpiling weapons. And every area they took control, they gained more war material. And this is how we've seen this spread. It's gone from the rural areas, and now it is inside the Afghan cities. Several provincial capitals are under threat right now. We may see 2 or 3 more capitals fall in the next 24 to 48 hours.
And you did say there is an approach toward Kabul. My question is, do you think that the U.S. foresaw the level of coordination and efficiency on the battlefield that the Taliban has shown in the last week?
I think this is one of the greatest intelligence failures in decades, certainly in U.S. military history. The Taliban organized this offensive. It planned it. It prepared. It organized. It recruited. It deployed fighters. It pre-positioned war material, all under the nose of the U.S. military, NATO, and Afghan intelligence. This story has to be told. It's what the Taliban did in the north, particularly, is significant, and everyone was caught off guard. Remember, the President Biden and his administration is basically their estimate that the Afghan government was able to hold out, and now they're talking. The U.S. latest U.S. estimate is that Kabul could fall within 90 days.
There are mounting critiques now of the U.S. withdrawal, but the U.S. mission, as you know, in Afghanistan was explicitly to deny al-Qaeda a safe haven after 9/11. So if the Taliban do return to power, do you think al-Qaeda will again be able to plot attacks against the United States from Afghanistan?
Absolutely. The Taliban-al-Qaeda alliance is as strong as it ever has been. The Taliban claims with that Doha deal, which really was a deal to get the U.S. to withdraw from Afghanistan. The Taliban claims that they won't allow Afghanistan to be used as a base of operations for foreign terror groups. But the Taliban made the same promise pre-9/11, and we all saw what happened then. The Taliban couldn't be trusted then. They can't be trusted today. And you can be certain that al-Qaeda will be seeking to leverage its relationship with the Taliban to plot attacks against the West.
So are the negotiations that are taking place in Doha between the Taliban and the U.S. envoy who just arrived there yesterday, Zama Khalilzad, are they relevant at all? Or is the military taking orders from the folks in Doha or vice versa?
The negotiations in Doha are a smokescreen. It's designed to give false hope to the United States, to NATO, and particularly to the Afghan government that there will be a negotiated solution. The Taliban's position has been the same for two decades now. It has stated in English on Voice of Jihad, its website, numerous times, even 7 days after signing the Doha agreement, that the only acceptable outcome of this war would be the reestablishment of the Islamic Emirate with Mullah Habibullah Akhundzada, its emir, as the leader of the Islamic Emirate of Afghanistan. The Taliban and the Doha group, the Taliban's Doha group, is merely providing that screen. They're giving, it's giving false hope to everyone, tying up diplomatic efforts while the Taliban tries to take, the Taliban would accept the surrender of the Afghan government. Remember, that would lead to peace. That would be the peace of the Taliban, but they'll take it militarily.
That is not a political settlement surrender. Bill Roggio, thank you for coming on the NewsHour and sharing your point of view.
Thank you very much.